Hey, everybody. In this episode, Node and I dive into the differences among the three major NFT blockchains, Ethereum, Solana, and Tezos. We talk about the differences in the NFTs that are on the blockchains, the differences in approach to make the most out of participating on the blockchains, and everything else in between concerning their differences. In the episode, you might hear some background noise. People are working on my roof, so apologies for that. As usual, this content is sponsored by FTX. Sign up at thenifty.com/FTX or with the code THENIFTY on your mobile phone. In this video, we are discussing how to approach the different NFT blockchains, specifically Ethereum, Tezos, and Solana. As usual, nothing in this video is financial advice. We are not financial advisors. The NFT space is clearly incredibly risky, so always do your own research. And if you enjoy the content, hit the like button, smash the subscribe button, and make sure that you follow us on social platforms. Depeche Node, my guy, how's it going?
It's going great, man. I'm still looking on the Larva Labs website to find Nix Punk. I really want to find it. He was not happy with me this morning on the Twitter spaces, dude. He literally muted me. And I think he muted me at the end just to let me know, like, he was not happy. I saw you're muted by the host at the end again. So that was great. No, I'm still recovering from that.
I did it at the end because I was worried that people were going to talk over the music because that happens sometimes. That was me at the end. But it was Nick when he said that he muted you. Because the funny thing about Nick when it comes to that, and not right now we're speaking about an Ethereum NFT, CryptoPunks, which I know is expensive, but you know it is like something that a lot of people are looking at right now. Nick is interested in buying a CryptoPunk, but he's obsessed with not disclosing his trades. Like, he feels like there's some syndicate of people that's interested in front running whatever trade that Nick happens to be making on a given day. In my opinion, it's a little bit delusional, but hey, you know, to each their own. I don't think it's that likely for the specific punk that Nick wants to get scooped up anytime soon.
Yeah, I don't think so either. It's just fun to razz him, man. He was very concerned. And he always makes, like, he has these great trade ideas and then forgets to execute on them. So yeah, that's what I was getting at. It was fun.
Yeah, I don't know how he comes up with the targets that he does that are, you know, astonishingly accurate. I tried to get it out of him today when he was talking about Damien Hirst. I was like, how did you know to buy it when you did? Because he basically bought rock bottom and it came up since then. And his response was pretty much dumb luck. So, yeah. You know, he's not a magician, right? But yeah, it was definitely interesting to hear from him. But, you know, for today's show, you expressed that you wanted to talk about how to approach the different blockchains. And you're a very experienced NFT market participant for just about the same amount of time as me. I think I might have bought my first NFT a week or two before you did, mid-February for me. But what did you have in mind when you were thinking about these three blockchains, Ethereum, Tezos, and Solana? I'd love to hear Node's strategy, Node's thoughts, and you know what the goal was here.
Yeah. So, I mean, I suppose let's start with the OG, with Ethereum, right? So I think Ethereum is king, and I think it will eventually still be king. I think Solana might flip it, you know, shortly for a small period of time. But I think Ethereum is going to be around for a while. Like, when I think of Ethereum, I think of like the most kind of pure decentralized, you know, chain from a standpoint of where you can hold your assets.
So it's the NFT blockchain, right? It sought out to fix what people said was wrong with Bitcoin, which were transaction fees on Bitcoin and the time for transactions to complete. And it improved on one of those things, which is the time for transactions to complete. The Ethereum fees are really high, but one of the most major things from what I can tell, and I'm not an ETH maxi, I'm not a person that actually even has a ultra deep understanding of Ethereum. I'm much more of a Bitcoin person, but from what I can tell, Ethereum just works insanely well for NFTs. So yeah.
Yeah, I mean, it's the smart contracts, right? That's a big part, a piece of everything. And when you look at Ethereum, like the most valuable assets, I think, will remain there, because it has the most neutrality, right? So when I think of Ethereum, I think of, you know, if you're looking for some of these assets that are going to be worth hopefully seven figures someday, and some of which, you know, have already sold for that much, they're all going to be on Ethereum. So when I look at Ethereum, I think very long term, in general. That's my whole thesis, more so than the day traders. But ETH, you get a little bit of everything, right? So you can trade fast. You can be like easy and trade, you know, 10 times a minute, or you can do swing trades, or you can just buy and hold things forever. And so I think Ethereum is a place where you can kind of get a little bit of everything. But if we're being real here, like you need to focus on some of the more high-end stuff is what I would say, if you're talking about ETH.
Yeah, for sure. And you know, forgive me if anybody hears any background noise. The roof is getting worked on. So if you hear the banging, that's what it is. Yeah, I agree with you on ETH, man. And like, so for you, you own the what's what of popular and legendary Ethereum NFTs. Obviously, there's a few exceptions, but you have, or you don't have a Bored Ape anymore. You did. You have a CryptoPunk. You have Mutant Ape Yacht Club. You have other deed?
Yeah. Yeah.
You got other deed.
Of those.
You got a doodle. You've got some cool artwork like Pop Wonder. Do you have V Friends?
Yeah, I did. I have VF2 now, and I've got a, you know, VCon ticket. I've got a grifter too, which I love.
X-Copy.
Grifters, yeah, one of my favorites actually. So, I mean, I think for my kind of strategy, like you got to kind of figure out what works best for you, right? So some people love minting. And you know, for whatever reason, like I just have always sucked at being on time, getting stuff there. And I kind of figured like, look, my best range, it's when a project started to take off and it started to gain some momentum and I can get him. I could just take some time for me to digest the feel, like the cultural component. Can this be historical? Does this feel like it can turn into a good brand? Does the team feel legit? And by the time I figured all those things out, like the project is usually between like 1 and 5 ETH. And that's when I go in and I scoop. And so, yeah, luckily I've been able to get most everything other than a CloneX. Is really the only main kind of PFP that I don't have. And then of course the Ape, which I sold before it airdropped like 500,000 to everyone, which was amazing.
That's the best
time
to sell.
Just like Captain Kicks. Yeah. It hurts to this day. So.
Well, that's why I'm scared to sell my Coda. I just have this irrational fear of selling this thing that I got for free for $50,000. You know, could have sold it for $100,000 the day I got it. I'm just like, I know if I sell this thing, it's going to give me another $100,000, or it's going to give whoever I sell it to $100,000 of value. So that's what makes it tough. But, you know, when you talk about minting, right, that was 2021 for Ethereum. It was the minting season, right? Kicked off by Bored Apes, followed by Gutter Cats. Even there was something called Super Yetis that are a joke now, but everybody that minted Super Yetis and then sold them got at least a 50% gain. It might have even been closer to 100%. Gain, right? You know, then Cool Cats came after that. It was around the time of doodles that the minting thing was starting to kind of decline, in the sense that you had to be on a allow list to actually get access to these things. So I'm assuming you bought a doodle at north of 1 ETH, right?
Yeah, 1.9.
There you go, yep. Right? Like a lot of people did, because it went to 1 ETH immediately. The lowest you could get doodle on the secondary besides like the first day was 0.8. So it did actually dip. I think during the week of NFT NYC, doodles dipped to under 0.8, and idiots like me didn't buy them there. But you know, Mutant Apes actually was probably the biggest mint towards the end of the year last year, as far as like something that ended up ripping, but it was a stealth drop. Nobody knew that there were going to be mutants available to the public, and you know, the rest is history there. But if you look at recent public mints like World of Women Galaxy, the results haven't been that strong.
Yeah, they haven't. It's tough. And you know, like the back in the, like last year, you were able to, like, you could take more time to buy something, right? Like you had more time. Like remember when doodles, like when they ran up to 1 ETH, we thought that was really fast.
Yeah.
You know, and now it's Moonbirds like
Moonbirds goes to 40.
Yeah, Moonbirds was at 40 within a week. Like it was insanity. So
good God.
That is a dynamic, right? Like a market shift that I think is happening, is the obvious plays are being priced in like immediately, because like there's only so many opportunities when you feel like this is a great team. They've been in the space for a while. They love it. And then they're going to, you know, they're going to do right by the community. And that's when, you know, we get this Moonbird situation. And I think, unfortunately, like we may see that for the foreseeable future. Like projects that are hot, they're going to start off at 1 ETH plus. Like Chimpers was immediately up, right? It's already, was it 2 ETH within like a day? And so I think we're going to have to, like, if you've got a little bit more to play with and you want to make some bigger bets, like Ethereum's a place to do it.
Yeah. And you're the guy that can take advantage of this situation where things run immediately, but you make bets that it's going to keep running, right?
Yeah.
Like, so
yeah.
If you bought a Chimpers, I mean, did you buy a Chimpers?
No, I didn't. I, for whatever reason, like there's gotta be something that like clicks for me. Right. And sometimes it doesn't click and I totally miss it, right? Like Invisible Friends, I totally missed it. But then, you know, other things like Doodles and Moonbirds, like, and Punks, of course, it's like, as soon as it clicks, I feel like, okay, I've got this. I can hold this for 6 months. Like my goal is to hold things at least that long if I can. And that's where I've made the most money, is by doing so. But then I've, you know, round tripped it half the time because I don't know how to sell things. So that's the other half of the equation.
Hey, I don't know how to sell things either. And the thing that we can always think about is we've only been in this game for a year and some change at this point. And so nobody knows which way that this is going to go. And you have to think that the next eventual bull season, which will eventually come, I don't think it's cope or hopium to think that at some point there's going to be another full bull in NFTs. You got to think the OG stuff, especially like CryptoPunks, for example, which I know you have, that they're going to really, really, really run. You have to think so, don't you?
Yeah. Right? Yeah. I mean, you do. And I think someone tweeted out today, they're like, wow, I don't think people realize the NFT bear market would last this long. And I just quote tweeted it.
What like, a month and a half?
It's been a month, dude. Like, buckle up, dude. Get in, because we've got a little ways. Like 1 month is nothing. Like there's been like 2 year bear markets in crypto, which actually made me a little bit concerned, right? If you have people thinking, oh my gosh, like this market, this bear market has lasted forever. It's been like literally earlier in this month was the other deed sale. Like it was like day one, right? It was
that's
like, dude,
nuts.
That's
so
pretty
I've
crazy.
What? So I've only owned my Coda for like less than 30 days.
I think so. Like, wasn't it the end of April or beginning of May that it launched? Like
that's ridiculous, dude.
Yeah. And we had like the biggest liquidity event in basically NFT history, right? Was other deeds. So that was, I mean, that just happened. And it did. Like it happened with Mutants. It happened with Meebits, and it happened with other deeds when the liquidity really did get sucked out of the market. And this time it kind of stayed that way a little bit, which we were hoping yeah. It wouldn't, but it did. And so I don't know how long we're in this phase, but I think it's worth being cautious here, because if you have people like, yes, things are way down, but I don't know that we've seen like full on panic in the streets yet. Which I'm hoping never comes. Like we are down. And I know
we're down bad.
We're down bad. But like, dude, if there's one thing I've learned, it, if something goes down 90%, guess what? It can keep going down 90%. Like, and it's happened to me before. And so like, I don't know, just be careful out there. It is encouraging though, to see the number of projects that have stayed, decently like held their ETH value, right? Like at least the blue chips are doing okay. Not what they were at their peak, but it's like, okay, dude, like a Doodle's still worth like whatever, 20 grand, 25 grand. It's like that's like real money still. So we're still in an okay spot, but I think I just want to like people to be careful. Like if you think that the NFT bear market has been going on for a while, that kind of worries me, because that would mean people would like capitulate faster or actually capitulate and panic, which I'm like, please don't do. Like we don't need that. Everyone just agree, like Kick said, like let's just all agree to like go back in the next month or two and then let's roll, you know?
Yeah, that was the funniest comment. I wish that things would work out that way. That is insane to think how long or how short of a time period that other deeds have been out. We don't know what's going to happen here. Things could just get even gnarlier. Maybe they turn around in the short term. Who knows? The funny thing was, you had brought up like when we first started making content, you said something like, what about other deeds? Do you feel like this is going to be the big liquidity event that, you know, sucks liquidity out of the rest of the market? And I brought up the example of Invisible Friends and how that was the big liquidity event, but then we bounced right back. Then I brought up Moonbirds. That was the big liquidity event. And then we immediately bounced right back. But then other deeds happens and we didn't bounce right back. Like, oh my God, Other Deeds was a brutal liquidity event where all the floors dumped. And then I'd say 50% of the floors had a little bit of a mini relief rally, but then came right back down. And 50% that went down from Other Deed just stayed the F down. You know, it's kind of gnarly.
Yeah, for sure. And I like, you know, what people are saying. It's like, look, Ethereum for expensive art, like that's a long-term play. And realistically, like, look, if ETH goes well, then ETH gas fees are going to get more expensive and it's going to be harder to do games. And so that's going to migrate elsewhere. So yeah, so you got Sol pulled up here. Should we talk about Sol for a little bit?
Yeah, let's talk about Sol real quick. The one thing on the art side is it doesn't matter what blockchain the art's on. I agree that I think it's going to be on Ethereum because you want your NFTs to be on a blockchain that is going to be around forever. And because Ethereum is the most decentralized of the centralized blockchains, right? Like Bitcoin's the only actual decentralized blockchain, but out of the centralized blockchains, Ethereum is the most decentralized. Like Ethereum is much more decentralized than Solana. And that's not me throwing shade at Solana, but if you're going to buy a piece of art that needs to exist for eternity, you're going to want to have it be as decentralized as possible. And who knows, maybe we end up wrapping all this stuff and throwing it on Bitcoin in the future. I'm sure I'm going to get a lot of flame for that, but you know, we don't know how this is all going to play out. But if you're going to buy that, you're going to need the traditional art world to fully be on board with NFTs. And if you think that 14 months, which is basically how long the traditional art world has known what NFTs were, if you think that that's enough time to get them on board, then you don't know how slow these traditional industries can move. So we're waiting for a while for this traditional art world to come on. When they come into the space, that's when we're going to get, you know, that kind of appreciation for real long-term on the fine art NFT stuff. Because right now it's still crypto people that are holding this art and deciding the value of it. So Solana, how deep are you in Solana? I know you have a couple blue chip Solana NFTs, right, Node?
Yeah. So I own a Solana monkey business. That's really my only blue chip Solana NFT, I guess. That I got into Solana probably mid last year, kind of started messing around and buying some stuff. And Solana monkey business, it felt like kind of their equivalent of punks.
Punks, yeah.
Yeah.
It's good, and, man. I wish I had one of these. Look at
good.
These things.
They actually look great. It's like one of the few Solana projects that I'm like, okay, I'm okay with the way that it looks, right? Like, I mean, sorry, yeah. Sol guys, but like, that's just what it is. Like, I think most of it's garbage. Like they're more kind of in their adolescence, as it were, right? Like it's, there's just all sorts of stuff being built here. And so I kind of asked around and I knew, like, I think Alexis Ohanian has an SMB and some other like big hitters got one. So I was like, okay, this seems like the most OG project. They've got a DAO that's like legit trying to do cool stuff. And I honestly need to get more involved. I haven't been, but I like the ethos surrounding the Solana monkey business. So that was one of my first, I just was like, you know, same mentality. Go in, try and get, you know, on Ethereum, like my third or fourth purchase was a punk. And then this was like one of my first purchases on Solana after, you know, minting a few pieces of garbage. I've used Solana like very much as like, you know, the new hot kid out there on the block, like so much stuff going on, a lot of mints. I love that it allows more people to get involved at lower price points. And that also comes with its issues, right? So you've got spam bots like freaking crazy. You've got like people that are big into Solana, like they have like Easy probably has like, I don't know how many wallets he has, right? But you always have like one wallet that you only mint with, for example.
Yeah, cause there's because there's so many rugs.
Because there's so many rugs, like so many scams. Like, so you got to like be careful. And it is a little bit buggy. Like I've had it a few times where on these platforms, I've went to buy something and it showed me that the transaction failed. So then I was like, oh no, like there's the floor is being swept. So I bought like two or three other, this was a Galactic Geckos was the one. So I bought like, I clicked like four Galactic Geckos thinking that I couldn't get any of them. And then I checked my wallet and it turns out I had bought all four of them because like the UI was off, right? So it's like, you got to be a little bit careful, like understand the different nuances for how this works. Like you get more like failed transactions, things might not go through or they do go through and it doesn't look like it. And so you just got to be careful on like, yeah, using Sol, like understand how it works.
Yeah. And, you know, it's a trader's blockchain, wouldn't you say?
Yeah. Like, and this is like philosophically, like I'm a little bit, you know, we love Easy, but it's like, dude, Easy is like, he trades, right? He'll flip something in a day. He does not care about the art, does not care about the, you know what I mean? And that's a little bit of a concern for the long-term of any kind of project is like, do people actually want to be involved in your project? Like that's, for me, that's the kind of stuff that I like to be involved in. It's like, oh, I like going to the Ape events, right? Like I like going to Ape Fest. I like being part of this community. And, you know, Solana right now is just like, it's like high frequency trading, right? It's like, okay, you get over there. Those guys are sharp. They are cutthroat. Like you cannot mess around, but it also, I think it's going to churn a lot of projects for a long time. And until people really want to jump into something long-term like that, that may be a little bit of an issue, but you know, hey, even Easy is already growing up. He put his famous Fox Federation in his, you could see it in the back of his profile picture. Now it's behind his Lyrical Lemonades and his dog. So he's getting like, he's like maybe maturing along with the Solana market being like, hey, I want to hold this for longer than a few months, right?
A few hours.
Yeah. A few seconds even. Yeah.
So are you going to try to get in the mix with Solana trading? You know, the reason I ask is because like I'm co-hosting Easy's show now. Easy has a daily show at 5 p.m. Eastern time, Monday through Thursday on Twitter, Solana Made Easy. And I'm trying to absorb as much information as I can, but it's so hard. It's so damn hard, man. And like to be able to beat these guys that are trading Solana, like I just don't believe in myself enough to do it. Are you going to try to mix it up?
So here's what I decided. I sold almost all of my Solana NFTs except for my SMB. And then I have like an Aurori, which is for some game that I'm like way underwater on because I bought it at the stupid top, but I'm holding that because it's still worth like 40 Sol or something. So I'm holding that, but I sold almost everything else I had and I had like 70 Sol. And I was like, okay, this is what I get to play with. Like, that's it. And I asked Easy, I was like, hey, what are some that I could hold for like at least long? I don't have to worry about it for like, you know, at least a month or something. And Easy gave me those two projects. He gave me OG Atadians and he gave me the famous Fox Federation. So I just went and bought both, one of each. And so now I've got like, I think I've got like 10 or 20 Sol left. That might be the wrong one. There's, you know, as Sol, there's like a million, you know, they all name them the same. Let's see. I think it's that one. Yeah, there it is. So that one, they're at 47, 48. I honestly just blind listen to Easy. Like I have not done enough research. But what I did like is like these guys, like this team and the other team, the OG Atadians, like they're both building something beyond just PFPs and Easy's bullish on them. So I was like, okay, I'll do that. Now I've got 10 Sol. And if I feel like it, I'll go and play the game and like, you know, degen. But the problem is like I've round tripped and then lost so much money on so many little Sol projects because I had the same mentality that I did as ETH. Let me just buy it. I'll hold it. I'll look at it in 6 months. Then it's like, dude, they're all down like 80% after 10Xing, you know, like they 10Xed and I didn't sell enough. And then like now they're back like 40%, 50% below what I paid for them. So like the space just moves. It's very volatile. So I think if you're willing to like literally go full time all in, like this could be a very fun place to go if you like fast paced stuff. Like I was joking this morning, like, do you want to, you know, if you're like hopped up on like whatever it is you take every day, like go for it, you know, like not me. Like, and so good luck. But this is a space where, I mean, look, there's a huge community here. I know a lot of people that only traded, you know, like locally here in Utah, that only do Sol NFTs, right? And they don't do anything on Ethereum. And so there is like a big and growing community. I think there's just going to be a lot of shakeout. You're going to have to sort through so much stuff to find the real stuff. Like even OK Bears is like, it seems to be doing okay, but like why? And like, I don't have tons of faith in their team. So I'm like, why should I jump in on this? Even though it appears to be coming a kind of a blue chip, like I'm just not there yet.
Yeah. I agree. I do think that if you go all out on Solana right now and you become a guy like Easy or Jersey or Cody or Soul Legend, and you did that right now, if you have the time for that and the interest, I think it'll be really lucrative.
Yeah.
I really do. Way more lucrative. Like, what is going all out on ETH mean right now? Like, we're all out on it. Doesn't fucking mean anything. Like, going all out on Solana actually means something. It's like saying I'm going to just go hard in basketball all of a sudden. You know what I mean? Like, I don't know. What does going hard on ETH mean? Like, it's not a thing.
It's not. Like, right now, going hard on ETH is like, hey, let's just wait for a second, you know?
Yeah,
like,
wait.
Let me just
buy
wait.
A CryptoPunk.
Yeah, buy, like, again, if you, here's what I would do for going out on all out on ETH. It's what I legit would love to do this, is raise a fund, you know, get like 50 million and, or 100 million, and then go in and buy some of this historic stuff. Like, I would buy art with it, and I would buy CryptoPunks with it, and maybe some of the blue chips to start, you know?
You would get in a group with everybody that's got a collectibles background that's obsessed with other deeds and listen to all the theories they have surrounding artifacts and resources and codas, and then try to find really good deals on artifacts, resources, and codas on the other deed land.
Yeah, yeah.
You know what I mean?
That's another good idea. You know, so much I think is going to change on other deeds, dude. We're going to all be like, things are probably so mispriced. It's like the opportunity's there. But the problem is we don't know anything. So like people trying to make these guesses or bets, like Rarity, of course, hopefully that matters. Your roof still okay there? You still alive?
It sounded like the dude just fell off the fucking roof. I don't know, man.
Hope he's all right, man. Good luck to you. But yeah, other deeds, like, man, there's going to be some interesting repricing. And it's going to be strange how it all plays out.
Have you heard anything about an announcement from Yuga?
Nothing beyond that July 16th tech demo that they're going to do. So on the Voyager, the first Voyager, whatever. And again, this is a question I brought up on the morning show like a couple weeks back. I'm like, dude, I'm a little bit like trying to decide whether to hold my other deeds or sell them, because like, do I have time to like go full Dungeons and Dragons? Like, I never played that growing up, you know?
My speculation is going to be that, so look, the idea is that the owners of the land don't need to worry about that, right? That's the idea.
How do you know that's the idea?
That's the way I think about it, is that the owners of the land, if you want to take full advantage and go ape shit and like really choose land like crazy, then that's cool. But the idea is the owners of the land are going to benefit no matter what, because they have the land. And in a few years, getting the land is going to be unattainable for an average person. So think about like World of Warcraft or something. You had to play to work your way up. The game isn't out yet. You and me and everybody that owns the land, we're already so deep in the NFT space. Like, dude, I'm holding a coda that's worth $50,000 and I don't know what it is. That's not your average person's behavior. Think about someone that makes less than $50,000 a year. They're not doing that. But what if that person that makes less than $50,000 a year finds out about other side in 2 years? In 2 years, they find out about it, and they find out that there's this fun game that's similar to World of Warcraft and similar to RuneScape and similar to MapleStory that they get to go and play, and they get to make money while they play it, because as they progress in the game, they can come up on in-game assets. They can make they can get an in-game token that actually has real money. And then the people that are the best at the game end up, you know, making enough money to buy land. But the people that own the land and own the codas and own the resources are getting the most value because they were early. That's the way I think about it. So I don't think that there's any need for landowners to play the game. If you want to triple or quadruple down, go all in, play the game too. But I think the idea is to attract people that don't own land to play the game, because it's a fun game like RuneScape. Like, people play RuneScape. I don't play RuneScape. People still play it. And it's been around since I was 10 years old. I'm 32 years old now, right? I don't play World of Warcraft. It's like apparently the most popular game, right?
Yeah,
so like,
yeah, yeah.
People play this shit, you know? So if you could own land in World of Warcraft and you got that land 2 years before World of Warcraft actually came out, you would think that that land's pretty valuable.
Yeah, I like that idea. Hopefully I can just be, you know, a digital landowner, landlord, you know. So that'd be easier, better than physical landlord. Let's do this.
Oh, yeah, holy shit. Oh, yeah, yeah. I mean, honestly, that's why I'm so weirded out at the idea of selling it. I just told you off air, I have all three of my other deeds listed. They're all listed above floor in a considerable way in their own right, because one's 4-star land, one has an artifact. I got the luck of the draw. I got great land for my three pieces of land. 4-star land, artifact land with a resource, and then Coda land with... Dude, I have like 4 resources on one of the land. Like, I just crushed it, like by luck, you know? But everything's listed. I'm getting the looks rare rewards. If stuff sells, okay, cool. All the furniture for my apartment is going to be covered by one of those sales, you know? But we'll see. But anyway, to switch things up, let's talk about Tezos. So I only own one Tezos NFT. I own Dogami, because I was fortunate to get on the allow list for that. Do you have a bunch of Tezos stuff?
I do. I went through like a little Tezos phase, and it was a lot of fun. I'll throw my little collection in the chat. The Tezos went through some interesting stuff, but what I'll say from a broad standpoint on Tezos is that like Tezos is for like the real pure, like people that are in it for the art. You know what I mean? Like the true collectors. There was like some great flipping meta on Tezos, you know. But like looking at this, like this is my little collection on Tezos. Like this collection looks like absolutely beautiful to me compared to like my OpenSea one. You know what I mean? Okay, I'm making money on OpenSea, making money on Solana. But man, Tezos, like the art is gorgeous and it's awesome and it's usually more affordable and cheaper. So this is the platform where it's like, okay, sorry, you know, like there may not be, I haven't been actively trying to trade or buy things on here for a little while, but it is a great platform where a lot of artists that just want to produce, like make art. And like, if you like this one, Joe Tamponi, like I love his work, dude. I think it looks sick. So I found him here. I bought it. Like Tezos actually has some of its own artists that are like, there's artists on Tezos that are pretty big, like that have done well. And they're just hanging out there. And then you've got some of like, there's other artists like, I think it's like Schwembelder or something. Like he actually has some big stuff on ETH and he has work here. Alpha Centauri Kid, ACK. I have one of his pieces, the GM piece where the guy is like a punk that has like little GMs just like shouting out of his mouth, like that's here as well. And it's pretty cool. Like that's a Chris Wall piece right there, like that Bite Me one. The guy that did all the Meta Hero stuff. There's a Pop Wonder there, the Rejuvenate. So a lot of artists, like they actually have some art on Tezos that you can get that's more affordable than getting it on ETH. So if it's like this is like a collector's platform, you know, for collectors, where you can just pick up some nice pieces. And like, I love all this just for the art itself. Like it looks beautiful compared to any of my other collections.
Yeah. Sorry about the dead air there. I had to unmute because of the roof work, but yeah, this is great, man. I didn't know that Pop Wonder had stuff on Tezos. I think it's fascinating. You hit the nail on the head that it's like the art blockchain. If you can find a notable artist whose work you'd like to own and you can buy the NFT, maybe even start a relationship with the artist through that and end up, you know, with physicals in your house too. Like, I think that this Chris Wall right here, dope to have framed in the house. I think it's really, really dope. I only have Dogami. Do you know anything about Dogami?
I don't know anything about Dogami. Yeah, tell me.
Well, I know that it's, I don't know anything about Dogami either. I know that it's backed by, like Ubisoft, the video game company, invested like $6 million into Dogami or something like that. Like they led the round and the round was $6 million. Pretty crazy stuff. Pretty crazy. And it's appreciated a ton. I haven't checked on it recently, but apparently we just got airdropped a token as well. So I don't know if that's like the blue chip of Tezos, but I don't know. I might have to look into it more to understand what the hell it is that I own. But yeah, I mean, Tezos is kind of the third blockchain for NFTs after Ethereum and Solana, isn't it?
Yeah. I mean, it's the only other one where I feel like there's like a real authentic core group of artists that love you know, that like work here. There was some like crazy stuff that happened. So there was the platform was called like Hick at Nunc. It was and that one like they like just turned it off one day. They just didn't want to keep supporting it. And so you know, it's like obviously it would be like OpenSea turning off. It's like, okay, that's you don't lose your NFTs, right? Like so other platforms came. So like I you know, you can go to Hen and EXT now. And then FX Hash is kind of like the newer, like, I mean, it's not that new in NFT terms, but it came out like a little right around, I forget, some point last year when all the drama, when the Hen platform kind of shut down. And then I think there's a lot of like cool generative art there, and people that are into FX Hash, like they love it. They think it's awesome. So there's like a real authenticity to this platform. I mean, the only challenge is like, Tezos has like nothing else going on, I think, on the chain. Like, I don't know what else you do there. But like, the affordability, like, I don't think it costs much of anything for artists to like mint and create their stuff and then to buy, like, right? Like everything's super, super cheap from a transactional standpoint. So I love like, as like someone that likes to like be a, like pretend to be like this art collector, right? Like I wasn't huge into art. I always appreciated it. But as soon as NFTs came around, like I really started to love it because it's kind of like, oh, this is a medium that I love. And then if I want to, I can always, you know, print out the physical if I'd like to. But I love Tezos for like the authenticity behind it and like the artists that are there for the right reasons and everything. Like, super cool.
Yeah, I'll definitely have to look into Tezos and see what notable artists that I really like have work available there for cheaper and, you know, just to kind of get things kicked off there. I think it's great. I also have to figure out what the hell Dogami is and why I still own it. But note, as usual, man, great chat. I hope that the background noise wasn't too loud. Any closing thoughts for the audience on this topic, the three different blockchains?
Man, only closing thoughts would be, you know, at a high level, right? You've got Tezos, if you are in it for the art, find some cool artists. Like there's, like I say, I've got Pop Wonder pieces over there. I've got an ACK piece. I've got like a Jasty piece. He's great. So that's what that platform is good for. If you are, you know, a teenager, go ahead and go on Solana and just party it up over there on the sexy new blockchain, like NFTs where everyone like makes moves in like, you know, 10 seconds or less. And then Ethereum, I think long term is going to be a great place for the high end stuff, and it'll come back, right? Like the market will come back, but don't be surprised if it takes a little while to get there. So I'm personally just kind of hanging out, sitting around, not making too many moves on ETH right now, to be honest.
Yeah, this guy Leafs93 in our Discord, really active community member, portal holder. He like every day it seems like posts a screenshot from our Solana Trades channel, and it's someone saying that they're it's like I'm and then insert age here under 18. Yeah. Like he posted one today where someone said that they were 12, and so like that's just like Leafs93 loves pointing out that Solana traders are children. Yeah,
can you imagine, like, dude, if this came out and I was in high school or in middle school, this would have been so freaking fun.
Like, and how could you compete with that, with a kid like that? As grown ass men, like that, you're never going to compete. Never.
I look back, dude. Like, yeah, like for whatever reason, when you're in high school, like you just get stuff fast. Like you get the culture fast. Like you discover new music early. You know what I mean? Like, when was the last time I discovered any music early? It's been like a decade, dude. Like at least. So like, good. If you are like literally, if you're still in school, in any kind of school, dude, hop into Solana and go play the game. Just try not to lose all your money. That's the challenge.
Straight up, I learned how to edit video when I was in high school, and literally you built on those skills until I was 23 years old. It's like, if I hadn't done it when I was like 14, it would have never amounted to anything. But yeah, well, great show, Node. Hope everyone enjoyed it. Make sure that you hit the like button, smash the subscribe button. See you guys later.